It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show.
Maybe it's the last night.
It was, at least when we left, it was supposed to be a promising weekend. A lot of NBA playoffs to discuss. And, of course, it was all leading to a Rockets-Warriors game one. And while it was disappointing as far as how the Rockets played overall, I'm not surprised by the result. I think the volatility with their backcourt makes last night's result something that we could see a couple more times in this series, where the Rockets play the way they want to play. They get into the Warriors. They limit everyone but Steph and Jimmy Butler, and it's still not enough because you can't trust the two guys in the backcourt to be, I'm not even saying be efficient or great, just to be average. And we have had discussions about what would the Rockets be with a average shooting backcourt. Maybe one of the favorites in the West. Instead, you got the other extreme last night where they were absolutely awful shooting. Look, Fred and Jalen, despite not having the reputations, are part of the defensive efforts for the Rockets, and the Rockets limited the Warriors to 95 points, which is actually 1 point less than the game where Steph only scored 3 points, the one people have pointed to as why this Rocket team can compete, because they had a couple victories over the Thunder and the Warriors, and Amen Thompson, his DPOY campaign was bolstered by that game. Of course, he's not even a finalist. Neither is Lu Dort, actually. It's Mobley, Green, and Dyson Daniels from Atlanta. So a couple of the bigger names aren't even involved. But so I don't want to just say those guys were terrible, because two ends of the court, but the one that cost them was the one where they were just flat out awful. I think they finished combined 7 of 34. 3-point shooting was even worse. And their volatility isn't good enough for a playoff run. You cannot go into games worried about what those guys are going to do, and they can shoot you out of a game. Now, when Fred's on, he's on. He'll knock down 6 out of 10, and he'll go put up 28 points or something, and of course, those are great nights. But then you get what happened last night, where nothing would go down, and the game started out so well, so much energy in that building. I kind of got caught off guard watching it, because we haven't felt that in that building for a while now. Playoffs changes things, not just for the teams on the court, but for the fans. The fans were there, and Fred made a passing comment after the game about the fans showing up, and he said, "I've been looking for them." I would advise Fred, after a game like that, no passing shots at the fans. It probably will go by the wayside, considering there are more important things, but I do know some people noticed it and like, wait a minute, you can't play like trash and then go call out the fans for not showing up. Fred said it in a joking way, but push that aside, man. We started our playoff talk a couple weeks ago leading into this night or last night discussing scapegoats, playoff scapegoats, and we'll eventually get to that. We're only through game one of all the series, so maybe we wait on that a little bit, where we're just going to start laying out the scapegoats, and Fred is one to start, and Jalen's not that far behind. You know it's bad when the memes have begun where Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet are wearing Amazon uniforms, or for some reason wearing pilot uniforms. That's not so insulting. Both of them are pilots, but Fred, it's pretty much Fred and Jalen in the playoffs and what they should be. In some cases, people have decided they should be Amazon delivery drivers. That's the fallout coming out of the game. You got to give credit to Alperen Şengün. He's the one guy who showed up, and Ime acknowledged it. Alperen was really good. He had the dunk on Draymond that got the crowd fired up, the entire team fired up, and you felt like, okay, the energy, the youth, everything we talked about going into the game one was working out, was coming to fruition. And then the game bogged down. The Rockets couldn't shoot. And the question for them going forward, at least for me, is where are they going to get consistent good offense from? Because the jump shooting can fluctuate. Great. If you knock down your shots, no problems. But on the nights you're not knocking down the shots, where can you find good offense from? Now, Alperen is one source if he continues his play from game one. I think the other source is you got to play big, particularly on the perimeter, and isolate Steph Curry, not on the perimeter, but when I say perimeter, I mean your perimeter players. You have to get him down in the low block. And while you don't have accomplished post players, no team really does, Amen being bigger than him, Jabari Smith being bigger than him, and Jabari in his limited minutes was very productive, get him down in the mid post and just simply shoot over him. Can you create offense that way and then allow or force the Warriors to change their defense because you're having success, whether you're drawing fouls on Steph Curry, whether you're making shots over him and forcing double teams? There has to be a way that you find good offense beyond Alperen and his play. And I think that might be your one spot, because I don't trust the jump shooting. I don't know how you can. It shouldn't surprise you, because this is what those two guys were, Jalen and Fred, throughout the season. From night to night, you didn't know what you were getting. And that's going to be exacerbated in the playoffs, because not only will you be forced to take tough shots, Ime talked about this, the lack of space that Jalen Green played in. He played in a crowd. The Warriors are going to force you into spots on the floor that you don't like. They're going to know. Everyone has the numbers. It's really mostly associated with baseball, where a pitch is thrown and how a hitter deals with it. Same way in basketball. You have your hot parts of the court where guys knock down shots and other parts of the court where they don't knock down shots, and everyone knows it. The heat maps are everywhere. So you're going to see those guys be forced to spots where they don't knock down shots. It's part of the playoffs game plan. Everyone gets to focus in on one matchup. There's not a lot of travel, so everyone's locked in, and they know this is how the defense will go. And at least in game one, the Rockets could not find ways to get good offense. They beat up the Warriors on the board. Steven Adams had great stretches where he continued to get them second shots and sometimes third shots. And while he's on the floor, he's a positive. The problem is, I think they want to limit him to 20 minutes a night. We'll hear from the coaches involved, Steve Kerr, Ime Udoka, and some of the players. But I think before the series started, that was the plan for Steven Adams, according to Ime Udoka. He's about a 20 to 22 minute a night guy. And while you love what he brings, can he be someone who is impactful enough to help you win games if he's only playing those 20 minutes? If he's not going to be a 25 to 30 minute a night big, can you survive the stretches when he's not on the floor? And it's crazy to say, can you survive the stretches when Steven Adams is not on the floor? I think he was their only positive player in plus minus yesterday. It was a big night for the Steven Adams Hive. But I think they did the Warriors a favor, even when he wasn't on the floor, by playing small. And how do you lean away from that? Maybe you're playing Jabari Smith as your three and Amen as your two, and Jalen and Fred, particularly when they don't shoot the ball well, aren't playing in the backcourt at the same time. Maybe there should be minutes where only one of them is on the floor. And that's if you don't go look for another option like Aaron Holiday or Cam Whitmore. Red Nation blogger, who's been he's a young dude, but he's been covering the Rockets for a while now. He pointed this out, and I think it wasn't a bad one, on his YouTube channel. The Warriors have been playing playoff basketball for the better part of 2 months. They were struggling. They traded for Jimmy Butler, and while they still made the play-in, they were one of the best teams in basketball down the stretch with Jimmy Butler on the court with them. They have been trying to fight their way out of the play-in spot for a couple months now, and it looked like it carried over even from their Monday game, where they have been in playoff mode for a while. While the Rockets, sure, they've been fighting for the two seed, but for at least the last 2 weeks, they've been coasting. And were they ready for the moment? It felt like it early. I won't say they looked soft. I just don't know if they were able to maintain the energy they put out there early. And as that waned, you saw the Warriors get in the game and you saw them take over. What, they were up by 20-plus points. And of course, the Rockets forced it to a three-point game with the help of Steven Adams and Jabari Smith. But eventually, that's a long road to come back from. And eventually, it kind of wore them out. And the Warriors were able to make enough plays down the stretch. Jimmy Butler knocked down a couple shots. Of course, Steph made a miraculous threes over Amen Thompson and Jalen Green. So you put yourself in a spot where you're down 20-plus points against a veteran team like that. You let them play from ahead. And even while your energy picks up and they can't stay with you for a little bit, they're going to make enough shots. So I think the plan for the Rockets, at least the hope for the Rockets, is find a way to get, maybe not easy buckets. I don't know how many easy buckets you're going to get, but find a way to get consistent offense from spots. And I'm not sure they knew where they were going to get that offense from yesterday beyond Şengün. So they go down 0-1 in the series. They have a couple days off. And I was trying to figure out, because a lot of series have a couple days off, so who gets the short stick and has to play with only one day off? Like, somebody has to play today. You can't have a full day off from the Saturday games. And the Nuggets and the Clippers, who played a great one on Saturday, they're one of those teams. And I think it's the Knicks and the Pistons are the other one, are the other series that's going to play today. So someone had to play today, and it's those two. I wonder how they decided that.
So two old teams that played an overtime game with the Nuggets and Clippers. Get back out there.
Yeah. And Knicks, Detroit, you guys are physical. Yeah. You guys really don't, at this point, like each other. It only took one game. You get back out there, too. So those are two games tonight. Both of them on TNT. Really, beyond Clippers Nuggets, you didn't have a clutch game. Maybe you want to call what happened with the Rockets. I can't remember, because clutch is like less than 5 minutes ago, within five. So I'm not sure exactly if the Rockets Warriors game falls into that. But we didn't have we had maybe one to two clutch games over the course of the first game ones, or at least the game ones in all the series. And I'm not surprised by it, particularly when you include that the Grizzlies and the Heat played on Friday. I didn't expect very competitive games with the other teams having a week off, and in some cases, considering they weren't playing their guys even more than a week off as far as playing competitive basketball. So not great for the people who say, hey, the NBA game is great. A really good weekend for people who say they can't stand the NBA. But hey, we got a lot of games. We'll see if tonight's games are better. And I will say this, the Knicks Pistons was dramatic. The Pistons were up, I think, 8. Well, they're up 8, 98-90 before the Knicks go on like a 21-0 run.
Yeah.
So that game could have been competitive, except that the Knicks just blew the Pistons away over a stretch and ran away with it. We'll see what happens tonight. But more importantly, we'll see what happens in a couple nights as the Rockets try to get back on track. And they will play on Wednesday at home to try to make it a 1-1 series.
And good news for the Rockets. It was a clutch game.
Oh,
or maybe bad news. It was 84-80 with 2:39.
So it was a clutch game. But do we trust the Rockets in clutch games? Through one game of this series, no. But that's been par for the course, at least to me, throughout the season.
I mean, I don't trust – after one game, I don't trust Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet to – cross the street safely.
Well, they got to the arena safely. So we know they can at least navigate Houston traffic to get to the arena on time. I just don't trust them with the ball in their hands currently. But I'm not surprised. Once again, not surprised by that. It's just who they are. It's who they've been all year long.
It's just one thing to get the basement game from both of them.
In game one.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah. Where it's like there's not even one, because there's a stretch in the second quarter where it was as the Warriors were going on the run, and it was with Steph on the bench too, and the Rockets lineup out there didn't have Şengün, Green, or I think VanVleet on there. It was Amin Thompson and guys that you don't trust with the ball in their hands to create offense. And it's like, yeah, no wonder they're turning the ball over every time they come down the court. Like, there's no one there to help. And little did I know that having Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet out there, too, wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I complimented Jabari, but he was one of those guys. He turned the ball over four times. Şengün had 5 turnovers himself, so they combined for 9 of the 16 that the Rockets had last night. They're just a team that doesn't know, at least right now, how to get consistent offense. we know what they do. Defense, offensive rebounding, turnovers. And they did not win the turnover battle, but they did win the rebound battle. Had 22 offensive rebounds. Didn't result in much because the guys who you expect to score did not.
No. No, they sure didn't. I was pleasantly surprised with Şengün. Just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he came out ready to go.
There's a guy who's ready to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was the one guy you can count on. And as far as playoff debuts, a clear number one when compared to the rest of the young guys and really the whole team overall. I know there are some calls for how come this guy didn't play, how come this guy didn't play. I'm not surprised Cam Whitmore is not playing. He's not a rotation player for the Rockets right now. And it's just a wing and a prayer to go, hey, put Cam Whitmore out in his first playoff game when we don't even like playing him in regular season games and say, hey, maybe he'll knock down a couple shots. Now, I know Cam Whitmore would take shots. He's not fearful of that. He's not in fear of taking shots in those moments. But Ime Udoka not playing him, I'm not going to criticize Ime for that. He's not a rotation player.
No. The one guy is like, are we sure we can find 6 minutes for Aaron Holiday? If your two guards are going to shoot 7 for 34, I don't know. Maybe put him out there just to see.
Fred's place in the lineup is secure. We've known that. The one guy who you would think would come out of the game because of the season and Ime has taken him out of games is Jalen Green.
He only played 31 minutes.
Yeah, they were going on a run, and he wasn't contributing to it very much. So I understand why he didn't play a lot of minutes. But, you know, Fred got his 40 because that's what Fred's going to get.
Yeah, but could we do like 34?
Mm-hmm. I understand your appeal to Ime.
36? I'll settle for 36 minutes for Fred VanVleet. It's a long series. We got to pace this guy.
Good luck with that. Good luck hoping and praying. Maybe another stinker on Wednesday. Maybe that gets you there. But maybe it's too late at that point. So
I'm not even asking for like a lineup. I'm just like, let's just see what it looks like, you know.
We've seen what it looks like all year. Aaron Holiday's been pretty good for them. Has not changed Ime's thoughts on Fred getting all that.
Yeah, specifically when the two guys are 2 for 17 from three.
Look, last night was the extreme level. We've seen them be bad. Last night couldn't have been worse.
No, yeah, last night was like the spring tour date and that, game for both of them.
And that didn't get Aaron Holiday in the game. Didn't get Cam Whitmore any minutes.
Yeah. I guess.
So how bad would they have to be?
I think it's more of like you're staring at the barrel of going down 2-1, that kind of thing. Like we see this every year in the playoffs. We're like game one, these teams aren't like making their
big adjustments.
Yeah, their big adjustments. I think that's why Steven Adams kind of got to cook for as long as he did. Because it's like, well, the Warriors are like, let's just see. I mean, because it wasn't that effective in the first half, especially when Curry was on the court. Mm-hmm. There's a like cross match situation where Adams was on Curry,
yeah, and
Curry
just
went right to the cup, and Ime called timeout. So it's like I can see how this might not. I can see why this has to be a secondary pitch for the Rockets. They can't be like, well,
can lean on that for. I don't know if he's capable of playing 30 minutes, but it probably isn't. Probably has some diminishing returns if he's out there long enough where they can isolate Steph on him.
As far as juicing the offense, the idea being, why don't we just put Steven Adams out there, and then after we miss a shot, then we could have an offense. What if we just made shots, guys?
Oh, you'd like for them just to make their initial shots. That'd be great.
I don't. Again, I'm not a coach of the year finalist.
We don't do that here.
I'm okay.
We don't make initial shots.
And just like Houston basketball, too. Cougs and Rockets.
I didn't want to point that out, but yes, it's a consistent
thing. It's something that really got solidified in March for me. I was like, oh my God, these teams are – it's the same picture, Your Honor.
Play defense, hit the boards, then maybe make some shots.
Physical defense, yeah.
And maybe make some shots. If not Steven Adams, maybe Jabari becomes your four, if you want to call him that, or a small ball five, depending on if Şengün's there, just to add some size, particularly if Şengün's on the floor. You're taking one of your backcourt guys out, as I said, and having Jabari in there provide some shooting.
I also thought Tari Eason was good.
Yeah,
Tari. He was 3 for 10, but like I think
he was
for all the other stuff you need Tari Eason to do.
He did all that.
It was good.
He did all that. Tari Eason going 3 for 10, one of the high men on the perimeter as far as shooting is concerned.
That's 300. Yeah. That'll get you to the Hall of Fame.
Wrong sport.
Oh.
Dylan Brooks, 2 for 5 from 3. That's 40%. We'll take that. We'll take it. 3 for 9
honestly,
overall,
you
but
could bump those shot attempts up, Dylan.
Yeah, take let's take 6 away from Fred. And you take on 3 just, more.
Yeah, give the rest to
Jabari gets a couple more.
There you go.
Somehow, someway, distribute the threes differently. Maybe Fred notices his night and how it's going and stops firing them. We can only pray. All right, that is game one. We'll get into the entirety of the playoffs, certainly, and also we'll hear from the guys involved last night. They're not as overreactionary as others. They expect to be better, so we'll hear from the likes of Ime Udoka and Jalen and Fred as we continue on. We had a scary situation at Daikin Park last night. Everyone seems to be okay, but that was a rough scene. So we'll get into the Astros finally winning 2 in a row. They did lose last night, but they've broken their string of alternating losses over the last 2.5 weeks or so. So we'll talk about the Astros. If you want to get in on anything, you can. 713-780-3776. Sean saw Sinners. As you know, I did see it on, was it Friday night or Saturday night? Either way, I saw it. So I kind of betrayed myself because I can't believe I like this part of the movie. I like the movie. It was a great movie. But there's a certain part of the movie where I've been steadfast in my dislike for something. And Ryan Coogler got me again. So we'll talk about that at some point today. We're just getting started here. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back to the show. Sean and I were discussing our favorite parts of Sinners. There are a lot of parts. You guys should go watch it. Did well in the box office. Rated R vampire movie with a musical snuck in there. It was a good time. Theaters, people liked it from my experience and Sean's experience as well. We love that type of stuff. You guys should go see it if you haven't. Did pretty cool. Oh, so plenty of people did see it.
Yeah.
Houston was one of the top cities for it.
Really?
Yeah, and sometimes they break it down by theaters as well. It was like the Regal, I forgot its full name, was the one in town that had the most people go see it at. So it was one of the top 10 theaters for the movie as well, but beyond the fact that the city did well, you know, traditionally black cities or at least multicultural cities did well in. Didn't see what Tuscaloosa thought of it.
No, Birmingham
didn't see that, but you know, the big cities and of course
said Mississippi. I'd love to see what Jackson thought of it.
Well, we'll see. But as you might think, the metropolitan cities, the big cities where a lot of theaters are, the movie did well. All right, so Rockets, Warriors, still talking about that. Let's hear from Ime. Talk about maybe some people overreacting to the offensive struggles and losing game one, giving up home court advantage, which always seems like a point of contention, particularly if you've played all year to get it. Here's Ime Udoka. Not that bothered by what happened.
Not our best, obviously. You only score 85. It's not a great offensive night, and the numbers show that, but I think it was 6 for 29 from 3, 11 for 20 from free throw line, and 17 turnovers that gave up 25 points. So not our best offensive night by any means, like I said. Hold somebody 95, you'd expect to win if you have a decent offensive night. And not only shots, but like I said, turnovers playing in the crowd. The misses in the crowd are the same as turnovers, basically. So had our chances. Got it to a four-point game with 2:34, I think, and gave up a three there. But, you know, guarded well enough to win.
Shout out to whoever's phone notification went off at the end of that. So if you're a Rockets fan or just part of that organization, you think to yourself, the game went the way we wanted it to. We think maybe there'll be some regression to the mean as far as our shooting, and we'll be just fine. I don't really buy into that. I think sometimes playoff games are just one-offs, and you don't really know what's going to happen, particularly early on, just because the Rockets were able to hold the Warriors down last night doesn't mean that is what game two is going to be like. So, sure, you only gave up 95 points, one less point than the game where everyone was lauding your defensive performance the last time you saw them. Who's to say that Pods doesn't have a big night? Not Buddy Hield, though. He's not having big nights. Don't worry about him. But maybe Quentin Post knocks down a couple threes when he gets over his first game playoff jitters. Pods was that was – no, he was part of the team last year. Did they make the playoffs last year? Or were they – no, they got knocked out of the play-in.
Yeah.
So they weren't in the playoffs last year. So the Warriors have ways to improve as well. So I get it. You only gave up 95 while scoring 85 and the game went your way. You did all the rebounding stuff. But they're going to say there's a level we can get to that we didn't get to as well. So game two, I think it's a completely different entity. There are some things that are going to remain the same. The Rockets will be better on the boards than them. That's just how the two teams are built. They will continue to make it a game that's mucked up. It's not going to be... I don't think the series overall will be one where we're going to be applauding the aesthetics of the game of basketball.
No, it's not going to be beautiful game stuff.
No. The Warriors movement, they'll get their opportunities because that's just the way they play, and there'll be possessions where you can't believe how great the ball's moving, pinging around, and they'll get a layup or an open three. But for the most part, you're going to see the type of game you saw. It's just a question of, are you going to get shots made by your shooters, or will it be the Warriors night where Buddy Hield knocks down a couple shots? So I don't think much of what a series will be until we get into like games three or four. I don't want to be the Barkley where the series doesn't start until the home team loses. But the series started.
It started.
For the Warriors and the...
We've had two series start, I think.
Who's the other home team? Oh, yeah, the Lakers. The Lakers and the Timberwolves and the Rockets and the Warriors. Those are the two series that started if we go by Charles' tried and true saying. So, Ime's not concerned. He is going to have to find a way to get his team easy offense. Can they find mismatches using their size to punish Pods in the post or to punish Steph when he is guarding a bigger man? Pods and Steph aren't going to have a real concern guarding Jaylen or Fred in the post. It's just not their games. But you can upsize your backcourt depending on who you throw out there, and that might be an option.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets, like, arguably they should have just gone out there with an upsized backcourt because they made the run with Adams. Then they took Adams and someone else. I forgot who else. But they subbed them out to basically get the starting unit back out there. And I was sitting there being like, are we sure we need, again, both Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet?
Really, no reason
lineup?
To have both of them out
there.
Yeah,
could we mix in a Jabari or anybody? Even Tari. I'll take him. I think that going big, and I think Amin Thompson, you saw a little bit of this is his first playoff game, especially in the first three quarters. I think in the fourth, he kind of came into his own a little bit more, had the elbow jumper going a little bit. So I think that if you get if you can depend or get a little bit better of a performance out of Amin for the whole game, that's where a lot of this, at least in the offensive side of things and defense too, can really click into place.
Yeah, you saw the game and maybe a series is going to require Tari and Amin to be aggressive, more aggressive on the offensive end when they get a mismatch. Okay, yeah. If Butler's on you, maybe you don't want to go at him consistently. But if it's GP2, who's a good defender, but you're going to be bigger than him, and then of course you've got the small backcourt of Pods and stuff. Those are the options you want to attack inside the paint.
So this is from Jackson Gatlin. I always want to say Justin Gatlin.
Former intern here.
Yes. Justin Gatlin, no. Sprinter for Team
yes,
USA.
Excuse me. Justin Gatlin, former sprinter, Team USA. Jackson Gatlin, former intern here.
He got home, rewatched the game. This tweet at 3 a.m., in case you're wondering how hard
man's grind.
This guy's working. Rockets attacked Curry 14 times. They only scored 10 points doing that. That's 0.71 points per possession.
Yeah, I don't think Steph's defensive ability is rated properly when you were trying to attack him on the perimeter.
Jalen Green had a lot of – he got ISO'd on Steph Curry and kind of just dribbled to nowhere.
Couldn't get by him.
Yeah.
And the added part of what the Warriors do in their team defense is there's always
help.
Because Jalen can see it. Like if you get by Steph, you're driving into a Draymond or Jimmy Butler or someone else. So he can see that if I go this way, I'm driving into traffic. And Ime talked about lack of Jalen playing in space. So it's not just Steph. They do a good job helping. But Steph was able to stay in front of him. That's not how you're going to do it. Draymond talked about it. Hey, we've been doing this for 13 years. People have been trying to attack Steph for 13 years. We get it. We get how to minimize some of that. Isolating him where he can't be helped with your back to the basket. Now, not a lot of guys proficient in that. But a quick move over your shoulder with a smaller man on you could be a way.
Yeah. I forgot who Amin was posting up, but he did that where he kind of waited until Draymond Green – he was helping over, and he didn't want to get 3 seconds, so Draymond went to get out of the lane, so he stopped helping, and that's when Amin Thompson went up for his move and got a bucket. And it's like, okay, if they can do that, and maybe Amin Thompson's the only one that has the size to do that in the post and also the awareness to wait until a defensive player of the year candidate moves out of the paint to then attack the paint. Maybe that's what they go to when they are trying to victimize Steph on defense. But I, like you said, back in 2016 when the Rockets and the Cavs, what their plan was like, hey, let's just try to get a pick and roll to get Steph switched on to either James Harden or to LeBron James or Kyrie Irving, and that's how we're going to attack. It's like you only did that because everyone else on the court was an awesome defender. Like you didn't want to go after Klay. You didn't want to go after Iguodala. You didn't want to go after Draymond. So Steph is like the best of all the options. I do wonder if they are getting a little too caught up in the like matchup hunting part of it, especially when the guys you're hunting the matchups for are Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green.
That final part is the most important part. You don't have guys who you should trust to do that over and over again. Like you don't have a lead guard who you can just throw the ball to and go, hey, go get after Steph, and you'll either get a good shot for someone else or a good shot for yourself or get to the foul line. You don't have those guys right now, and it's why some people not so quietly are going, you know who would be good right now? Kevin Durant.
Oh, I got a couple of those texts in the third quarter.
Yeah, people like
it wasn't as nice as that.
Well, people on Twitter, and some people less likely because they have accounts that they want to maintain and also their Rocket-centric accounts, and it's part of the whole deal. They didn't want to completely attack the guys on the roster. But, you know, trading for Kevin Durant might have been a good idea because I think Mark Stein had a report. Eric, I see you'll get to you after the break, that the Rockets' plan was never to make a move in season. It was to wait. And it was like, excuse me, the playoffs, how about playing for this year? And Kevin Durant on this roster now, a guy who can get a shot at any time would have been a big help. But we can wait on that because it's only game one, but it was a point of consternation for some people.
Yes, and especially in game one where you see the value of there are three shots in this game that Steph Curry hit. They're just like, okay, I guess nothing you can do about it. I guess he's doing that. And there's, I think, one or two, probably like two, Jimmy Butler ones where you're just like, this is a terrible possession, and Jimmy Butler makes a long two, and you're just like, all right, I guess that's what he does in the playoffs. So you really saw, like, as much as like you want to get into all it, the difference was like you just needed a guy to make those three shots.
You had two big time playoff performers,
and they like played fine. You know, it wasn't like they went off.
Yeah. They were good. Steph made some spectacular shots, but it wasn't this virtuoso performance by either one. But they were good, and the Rockets didn't have any good offensive players if their name wasn't Alperen Şengün. All right, Eric, we see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Hold on. Anyone else want to talk? I know we've been very Rocket-centric, but you know, I mentioned centers. You want to talk about anything, you can. 713-780-3776. But before we do all that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and they already have projections for game two on Wednesday for Rockets Warriors, but maybe you don't want to wait that long. You want to get in on it today. Well, they have everything. They have baseball, they have hockey, they have soccer, they have the games tonight. Whatever you want, you can find it on Prize Picks. The Astros playing the Blue Jays today. Had to wait, look for it to pop up. There we go. What do you think is going to happen in this game? Do you think Jose Altuve is going to go off? Maybe Yordan Alvarez wakes up. Or, hey, it was a big weekend for Cam Smith. Maybe you think that continues. And you don't just have to do Houston-based things. Maybe you want to think about Nick Castellanos to hit a home run. You can do that on Prize Picks, given recent events in today. So whatever you want, you can do it on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, I mentioned it earlier in the show. We will do our scapegoat of the playoffs. The rankings will be fluid. Just depends on what happens in the game. We're not going to put anyone on the list right now because it's only game one. Eric, we'll get to you. But we're not that far away because we have game twos tonight. And, of course, the Rockets play on a Wednesday. So Thursday's show, if they go down 0-2, we're going to have someone at the top of the scapegoat rankings. Sean, can you give people a taste of what that might sound like as we get ready for our scapegoat rankings likely on Thursday?
Yes, I can.
Okay, he didn't have it ready.
No, well, I have it. I had it pulled up. I just didn't have it actually ready to play. Here you go.
Every team needs someone to point to when, well, things go wrong.
If you want to listen to the rest, tune in on Thursday.
That's right. Just a little preview, a little snippet.
Well, there you go.
A 3-second teaser. So we'll do that. We know Fred's leading the charge. Jalen's not that far behind. We'll see.
Yeah.
If those guys can.
As the committee's meeting after the first weekend of the playoffs, we have a pretty clear number one.
Yeah. Hey, guys, just shoot better, and you won't be on the list. Of course, the series needs to be tied as well, because if you're down 0-2, we'll just blame you for game one, and you'll still be at the top of the list. So we'll do that on Thursday, but I really don't want to break it out for a Rocket. Not this early in the playoffs. That's really early through two games.
No. Can we do it for Michael Porter Jr., please? Can we do it?
Yeah, for someone.
Can we do it?
I mean, if the Clippers blow another game tonight, maybe we break it out tomorrow. I don't want to do it for the Rocket.
No.
Certainly not a Rockets player. All right, let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk about what Eric wants to talk about. Generally, it's nothing about what the show's talked about, but who cares? What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Shortest wait times in sports show history.
Okay.
Thank you. And this is the reason. Why did the Rockets trade for Jimmy Butler during the offseason? I know there's numerous reasons, but I think this is the time where Jimmy Butler would come in handy to help the Rockets win. I mean, they could, you know, trade a number one pick or number two, but what are they waiting for to get Cooper Flagg in this year's draft? And also, Sinners was okay. It was pretty long, but I thought it'd be better than it was. I'll hang up and listen.
It's a real shame, Eric. Your first point, I recognize and will acknowledge, and we'll talk about it. Your second point, no. Get out of here with that. Only positivity about a movie where it's a musical and I actually liked it. I'm not going to hear that from you. Everyone has their opinion. Vampires, singing, take it or leave it. As far as the Jimmy Butler point, it was all year, not necessarily about Jimmy Butler, but pretty much just a point we figured out the Rockets are going to be good and make the playoffs. There were questions about what they're going to do to add to this team and could they add a veteran piece. Jimmy Butler was out there. Some of the early reporting was that he was interested in Houston. just that the Rockets weren't very interested in him. And as I said earlier, Mark Stein said the message from the Rockets was they weren't ever going to make a move during the season. That was going to be pushed back into the offseason. And that came to be. The Rockets weren't serious about acquiring a Jimmy Butler or Kevin Durant, according to the reporting. The dream has fluctuated. At one point, it was Kevin Durant, and then it became Devin Booker. Now, it's just, hey, we'll see how the playoffs go. The absence of a legit guy who you could throw the ball to and not just knock down a shot, but to get good offense, that was felt last night. The Rockets didn't have many places to create open looks for the on-ball guy or guys off-ball, and it's going to be a struggle. It was a struggle all year long. It was going to be a struggle in these playoffs where, for the most part, they're going to be playing half-court basketball, even with how frenetic they want to play. They're not going to get up and down. They will have their moments where Tari's stealing a ball near half-court, forcing a turnover, and he'll get a dunk. Those things will happen because of how aggressive they play. But consistently, they're going to be in a half-court, and when your two guards aren't really playmakers and can't knock down shots consistently, you're going to have nights like tonight or last night. And then maybe on Wednesday night, it flips and they can't miss and they blow the Warriors out of the gym with their athleticism and their shot making. That's Rockets basketball this year. You would like, when the games matter, to not have those fluctuations, but they didn't make a move to do that, Jimmy Butler or otherwise, so now they have to wait till the offseason. And if they get, I guess you would say, embarrassed in this series and it's due to their offense, while patience has been preached by some, I don't think the Rockets will do that if their glaring weakness is not having someone who they can rely on in these moments. That's what these playoffs series are for, to find out about guys. And I don't really disagree with waiting, because I don't think this team, as it's presently constituted, should be winning a title. They're just too young. That's not how it works. Even adding Kevin Durant, I don't think they're winning a title. Maybe they get out of a first-round series against the Warriors, but winning a title, I don't see it. So let's see. Let's see who it'll be. And can Alperen be a guy you throw the ball down to in the post consistently? They didn't really try that yesterday. Late, I don't know if they believe they can do that. Now, his game, attacking the basket near from the free throw line in, hitting the floater, knocking down a jumper or two from that spot, I like it. But throwing the ball down there consistently against a really good defender like Draymond, even if he's undersized, may not be a way they think their offense should go.
And when you're not making shots, it makes it very easy for the Warriors to then just double team and to make it all, and not even double team, to make it hard to even make the entry pass because they can play so far off of guys. So it all just comes back to got to make shots if you're the Rockets to have any chance whatsoever.
Really. Yeah, it's pretty simple. It shouldn't be that way. You would hope that your backcourt is going to shoot as poorly as they did, but they did, and that's why you score 85 points.
They sure did.
They were so bad.
And you know, with all that said, it was still a 4-point game with 3 minutes.
So how do the Rockets feel? They probably feel we're not going to shoot as poorly as we did, and the game went our way.
If you can get like a little bit better and hold, I mean, just honestly, hold Steph and Jimmy to about what they did. Don't have a pods go off. Don't have Quentin Post make three quick ones or anything.
I think
we didn't get the others from the Warriors.
No.
For the most part. Pods, I think, was the third leading scorer.
Yeah, and he didn't shoot the ball particularly well. The formula is there. It went the way they were hoping it would go, except for that whole thing about the guys who are on the ball the most not making shots.
Yeah. Are you a man or are you a mouse, Fred VanVleet?
What was he last night?
He was very much a mouse. He was Ratatouille out there.
Nah, Ratatouille.
Yeah, Ratatouille not got even. The job done.
All the mouse.
Remy, his fat, useless friend.
For the most part, all the mice you would name are ones who...
Great mice in history.
Yeah. You're just going to name great mice. He wasn't one of those last night. Because who else? What other mice would we know?
Stuart Little.
Even he got the job done. The whole point of the mice is overcoming their stature in pop culture. You got to find a mouse who was just a drag. And I guess you named Remy from that movie. They had two Remys last night, unfortunately.
Yeah.
More Ratatouille, less Remy. on Wednesday. Thank you, Rockets. Cook, in fact. We need you to cook on Wednesday.
Yeah, Ratatouille. He cooked.
Yeah, we need you to cook on Wednesday night to even the series. Okay, we'll go to break here. Thanks, Eric, for the call. If you want to get in like Eric did and insult the wait times, you can. Or you just want to call in and talk about what happened over the weekend, you can do that too. The number is 713-780-3776. But before I go to break, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. It's a place you go to where you're going to get a consistent experience, unlike the Rockets. You go to Monument Chevrolet, whether it be the website at monumentchevrolet.com, or you go on the lot, you're going to get great service from the people there. And once you get on that lot, you're going to see the great cars available for you. So think about this. It is truck month. That is still going on at Monument Chevrolet. It's extended through the end of April. And what does that mean? You get 2.9 APR on the Chevy Silverado 1500s. That's an unbeatable deal. And there is that one catch, though. The stock is limited. You need to get on out there and check them out. So they're selling record numbers, which means the Silverados are moving. So if you want one, go there. And if you're looking for a special truck, maybe that Trail Boss Off-Road with that blackout trim, or the Sporty Z71 Off-Road, or that Premium Texas Edition, they're there for you, but you got to move fast. You don't want to lose out on the great offers from Monument Chevrolet. So it's not just the Chevy Silverado 1500. Maybe you're someone who's looking for a pre-owned vehicle. They have a wide selection out there, or maybe you're looking for something for your business. It's all out there for you. They got a large fleet. I think right now they're the eighth largest fleet dealership in the country. So if you got a new business or you have a current one that you want to add something to, it's there for you. And maybe you'll meet Theo. He's the salesperson of the week. He's been with Monument Chevrolet for 18 years. He's dedicated to the customers. He understands the car buying process can be a little tricky. So he'll walk you through the process and get you the best car you want. So remember, check out the inventory, monumentchevrolet.com, and then go on out there to, it's off of Bellway 8 and 225 in Pasadena, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.